Well, this morning I want to speak to you from, again, Mark, the 8th chapter. We've been kind of centering in on the events that preceded and were the beginning point of the journey to the cross. I want to look at Mark, the 8th chapter, again, and begin with verse 27. Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples, Jesus said, I want to stop right there. There's two groups of people that Jesus addresses. The crowd, they had been faithful to follow Jesus from place to place, to observe his miracles, to be a part of the excitement that was around this person who was so charismatic, who was so powerful, who spoke with authority. The crowds were interested. They were impressed when Jesus fed the 5,000. And then again, in the first part of this chapter, he fed the 4,000. And they saw what a mighty man he was. And they were drawn to him. And then Jesus makes a decisive statement. He says, come closer. Come see what this is all about. Come experience what I am about and what I am doing. Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. There's a difference. Salvation is free, but discipleship demands everything that we have. Now, are we called just to be saved? Are we called to be disciples? Jesus has called us all to not only be disciples, but make disciples. Is that not right? How can we make disciples if we're not disciples? And so Jesus called them, and he wanted to separate the ones who were really willing to follow him at great cost, and those who just were interested. He said, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel or the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? What a powerful question, huh? In this life, one decision is more important than any other decision that we'll ever make, and that is, what will eternity hold for me by virtue of the decision I have made for Jesus Christ in this life? Jesus raises that issue himself. And he says this, to sort of put things into focus and perspective, is anything worth more than your soul? You know, all the wealth that we amass will be left behind. The houses we've lived in will be standing long after we're gone, the ones that are built well. Other people will be living in them, and they'll scarcely remember that we were there, if at all. But God has a plan that transcends just this life and prepares us for a life that is eternal, a life that he has prepared, a place that he has prepared for us to go to, as we are his followers, not just believers, but followers, folks who put the belief into action, folk who live out their faith. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So what I want to ask is, are you a member of the crowd, or are you a disciple? The crowd was easily swayed, remember. Many who were in this crowd were probably also in the crowd at Palm Sunday, and were probably also at the crowd at the cross. They were curious. They believed that there was something to Jesus, but they weren't quite sure what that something was, and they weren't really willing to invest themselves in it. They weren't really willing to give their all. They were willing to give a little bit of time to see the spectacle or perhaps watch a miracle, but they were not really willing to follow the Christ. And so he said, "This is the way you follow me." Now, you remember the commercials that they used to have on about the Navy? Join the Navy, see the world. How many of you joined the Navy? Anybody in here? We got any Navy? Was that pretty much your experience? Okay, well, we got two. I know some other Navy guys. Didn't see much of the world. They joined. But it didn't quite come to the image, I mean, you know, of going to all these different ports of call, and, you know, and they didn't mention join the Navy and leave your family. They didn't say join the Navy and work long shifts or be on a stationed on a battleship that will be at sea for 6 months out of the year. They didn't mention some of these things. But Jesus was right up front. And by the way, still, I mean, I know that we got two Navy guys, and they would say, join the Navy, I think. And maybe not see the world, but just be a part of serving your country. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, it's not going to be a spectacle. It's not going to be excitement after excitement after excitement. It's going to be about, first of all, denying yourself, your selfishness. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize how narrow the vision I have is, and narrow the perspective. And God has to really work on me on this, because I see everything through my own feelings. Is anybody else like that? I mean, it's hard to separate yourself from what you're seeing and what you're experiencing. You experience it through all of those other experiences that you've had that have made you who you are. And those experiences sometimes give us a bias and a view on life that is not particularly healthy or helpful, because it places within us a tainted understanding of what God has called us and placed us here on this earth to be and do. God has called us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And yet sometimes we love ourselves to the exclusion of everything else. And self-love is always destructive. If it is turned inward, if we turn our world inward to us, and if everything is about us, then we become consumed and used up and spent. What God wants for all of us is that our lives would be open, and that our world would be larger than us, that it would be a world that includes the wonderful mission that God has given, and a heart to touch and love and reach people, and the willingness to be generous and to support that which is going on in the world that God is about, to realize that eternity is our aim and our goal, and that this life is so short compared to the life that is before us. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. I've heard Some say, well, Jerry, I know where my cross is. I'd say, what? And say, my mother-in-law. Not anybody here, by the way. Or someone would say, well, you know, it's that wayward son of mine. That's my cross. The wayward daughter. That's my cross. But that's not what's meant here at all. To take up the cross means that we identify with what Jesus Christ did in a totally unselfish effort as he suffered for our sins, and as he walked that walk for us. A little boy worked in a carpentry shop, and they made crosses for the Roman Empire, and he spoke to his dad one day. He came running home and he said, I saw him today. And he said, who? He said, this Jesus that everyone's been talking about. I saw him today. And you know what? He was carrying my cross. He said, well, how do you know he was carrying your cross? He said, because I scribbled my mark on it. I scribbled a mark on it. And I know that it was mine because I saw that mark. And he was carrying my cross. Do you know that he carried your cross? But he invites us to the same kind of sacrifice so that we're willing to do the will of the Heavenly Father no matter what it cost. That there is something that God is calling you to that you cannot accomplish on your own. You must have his help. You must have his presence in your life. And in order to be all that God has called us to be, our lives have to be opened up. Our hearts have to be opened up to a world of need and hurt. And people who are crying out saying, is there a God at all? Is there anyone who cares what's going on in my life? And we are the answer to that question. If we are carrying our cross and showing them daily a sacrificial love that will never let go. To love and to forgive and to reach out like Jesus Christ. Wow, what the church could do. If we carried the cross. You know, so many today are preaching a cheap grace. Come to Jesus and everything's going to be great. Come to Jesus and you'll be wealthy. Come to Jesus and you'll have all your needs met. You'll never be sick. Come to Jesus and I'll guarantee you that you'll never have another problem. And that's an absolute lie. Jesus says so. He says, you want to know what following me looks like? Look at me. Look at me. Follow where I go. When I was in Israel, I walked the Via Dolorosa, which is the way of the cross. And as I walked along the way, I remembered each step that Jesus took. And I was profoundly moved at that progression of suffering that Jesus went through on my behalf. And just covering the sheer distance from the top of the Mount of Olives down through the Kidron Valley and across to the Temple Mount and to the from one end of Jerusalem to another and then back to Calvary and carrying the cross and all of the persecution that he suffered in the meantime, the beating, the stripes for our sake. And Jesus said, follow me. In this world, you will have trials, Jesus said. He didn't say, trust in me and you won't have any more problems. In this world, you will be persecuted, Scripture says. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And as we follow him, he helps us to be overcomers as well. And this thing about being a Christian is more than being a part of the crowd that just shows up. God has called us to do more than just show up. We are called to carry a cross. We are called to follow him into the community. Where would Jesus go if he came to Garland, Texas? What would he be saying? What would he be doing? That's where we're called. You want to know what your agenda looks like this next week? Where does Jesus' agenda fit in? Where does his calling fit in? Where does his following fall into that schedule that you've planned out for this next week? Follow me. You see, he wants us to surrender our will. In a poem called The Surrendered Will, it's really a prayer. I want you to listen to it. Just bow your heads and hear these words. Laid on your altar, O my Lord divine, accept my gift this day for Jesus' sake. I have no jewels to adorn your shrine, no world famed sacrifice to make. And here I bring within my trembling hands this will of mine, a thing that seems small, yet you alone can understand that when I yield you this, I yield you all. Father, Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. And Father, so do we. We submit to you. We give up the rights that we have claimed so jealously. We've given up the goal of just seeking our own happiness, but rather, Lord, seeking to make you smile. To be more than the crowd, but to be disciples who have in the heart, the deepest part of the heart of their being, have sought to give you all. Because we know, Lord, that whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life or her life for the sake of the gospel, for your sake, we'll save it. Father, we come with hearts that are open to receive all of you. And we ask, Lord, that you would remove in us the things that prevent that from happening. In the name of Christ. Amen.